Retro.
Go.
Vital.
We're go fly.
Guidance.
Guidance go.
Procedures.
Go.
Capcom.
We're go fly.
Launch control, this is Houston. We are go for launch.
This is Space Talk, a weekly program that highlights America's space program and what's new in the space flight from around the globe. And now with the past, present, and future of space exploration, here is Jim Behnke.
Well, and season's greetings to all. And in particular this week, a very happy Hanukkah, which began at sundown yesterday and I guess will now continue for 8 days. I am Jim Behnke, and this is the December 12th, 2009 edition of Space Talk, brought to you by United Space Alliance. Innovation you can trust, performance you can count on. And this is your one-hour radio program dedicated to all things related to the space program. And we are sure going to touch on a variety of subjects with several guests today. At any time along the way today, you are invited, of course, to join in the conversation by calling 768-1240, star 1240 for AT&T wireless customers along the Space Coast. If you're out of town, you can give us a call, the area code 321-768-1240. Or if you're listening to us online at WMMBAM.com, just pop open a new window and send us email with your questions or comments to spacetalking@AOL.com, spacetalking@AOL.com. Well, boy, last Sunday, despite the embarrassing loss of my Minnesota Vikings to the Arizona Cardinals, I will not let that fact deter me from remaining even now, 6 days later, in a joyful mood as we celebrate this holiday season. And to start off the show today, I thought in the subject of holiday gift giving, that is on my mind today, and it's on my mind because yesterday my middle son Jason turned 20, and that means now that for two decades our family has had his birthday signal to us that Christmas is only 2 weeks away. And so if you don't have all your presents, it's time to get serious now about Christmas and getting ready for it. So today I thought to start off with the show, I thought I might share with you some space-related Christmas gift-giving thoughts and ideas for you that perhaps would help you to find that special something for that special space cadet in your life. And I'm pretty much just going to keep it to movies and books, which are easily bought online. In fact, if you go to WMMBAM.com and enter the keywords Space Talk, you'll wind up at my show page. And some of the things that I'm going to talk about here now are all there as convenient links to you for you to click on and follow and order and do your Christmas shopping all from the comfort of your home or office. By the way, before I mentioned these specific items that are on my list, I wanted to let you know, and this is just amazing. You know, when I was growing up, one of my toys that we played with was Major Matt Mason. And I still have a bunch of Major Matt Mason stuff in a tub somewhere in the garage, and it's all used and not worth a lot. But I was every time when I'm on eBay, I like to see what people are buying and selling in terms of Major Matt Mason. Major Matt Mason was this series of space toys, four astronauts, all sorts of cool things, and it all came out during the 60s and into the early 70s. And as one book put it, taught kids the fun of spaceflight and taught parents about the high expense of spaceflight, because these toys were not cheap. And let me tell you about this toy that is online right now. You can get it for the holidays just in time, a Gulf Oil Major Matt Mason Mattel. This is Major Matt Mason, the astronaut in the white suit with blue stripes with his jet backpack and a helmet, mint on card with a Gulf Oil label added to it. Gulf Oil, of course, was a sponsor of NBC's space coverage back during the Apollo days, and this is a mint on card deal. The lady, her handle here, her user ID is Girls Love Glitter, and she's apparently in Long Beach, California. And she put this up a few days ago for $29, the original asking price, $29.99. And immediately a guy sends her an email and says, don't let this go cheap. It's worth $3,000 to $5,000. And indeed, right now, after 20 bids, with just over a day left to go, This Major Matt Mason doll is now bidded at $4,494 for what amounts to be about a 6-inch rubber doll with wires in him and a helmet and a retro pack. So there you go, folks. $4,494. You got some spare change and want to buy a space toy. There you go. Mom and Dad, don't bother. Just don't bother. Save the money for the retirement. Holy cow on that one. Well, got some cheaper alternatives for you. And let's start with some movies. Here are my, I guess, about top 5 or 6 movies that are on my list. And I own these already, but I want to share them with you. And first of all, the top movie that I would recommend to you, The Reluctant Astronaut with Don Knotts. I've got all the rest of them on here. I got The Right Stuff. I've got From the Earth to the Moon TV series that Tom Hanks did. I've got Apollo 13's on the list here. Marooned, based on the book by Marty Caden, fantastic movie, is on the list. Destination Moon, the original George Pal movie that goes way back, was one of the very first science fiction movies, one of the very first movies to depict very realistically a trip to the moon. That is the that, by the way, is the movie that has this incredible Woody Woodpecker cartoon embedded into the movie itself that explains a lot of these rocketry concepts and stuff. In fact, you've seen that cartoon clipped in the From the Earth to the Moon series. But Reluctant Astronaut with the Don Knotts was one of my favorites growing up, and it was filmed right after he left the Andy Griffith Show. Back when the first Saturn V's were rolling out to the launch pad at the Kennedy Space Center, they shot some of this on location out here, and you've got Don Knotts walking in a silver suit out of Pad 39A with a big Saturn V in the background. Just absolutely a favorite fun movie of mine. I've resolved that if I ever do get a chance to fly in space someday, the night before I fly, I'm going to watch this movie and have a little movie party. Another favorite, Walt Disney Treasures. It's one of those silver tins that maybe you've seen in the family aisle that's got two DVDs in it. This is their Tomorrowland episode called Disney in Space and Beyond. It's got the three Disney specials from Walt Disney that described going to the moon and going to Mars on it. It's in their entirety, in color. These are the ones that Wernher von Braun worked on with Disney way back in the 40s and 50s to put together, and it's just a gem to watch and a gem to own. And I round out my list of movies with Contact, because with Jodie Foster, I think that's just a fun movie to watch, really engages your mind into thinking about maybe life out there and a realistic, a fairly realistic, I think, a portrayal of what how we might act and how we might react should we ever discover intelligent life out there. There's some fun moments in there. There's some thoughtful moments in there. I've never totally agreed with Carl Sagan and his humanist views of the universe, and his views of religion. I don't agree with, but on the other hand, the movie winds up presenting everything in a fairly balanced way, and I think it's very thought-provoking and fun. You know, there's all sorts of other space movies out there too, and I don't have them linked on my website for you, but you know, anything Battlestar Galactica, Star Trek, Star Wars are family favorites, of course. Space Cowboys, I thought, was a pretty good movie. It was a lot of fun to see some of the guys do that. It was fun to see our good friend Lisa Malone on the big screen. An old favorite, Last Starfighter, was a fun movie way back when computer animation was first being used in movies. Again, despite what I just said about Carl Sagan, his Cosmos series, which are out on DVD now, are absolutely outstanding and a good buy and a lot of fun stuff there. Books, Carrying the Fire, top of the line, Man on the Moon, Andy Chaikin, very good, and the rest of them you can see online as well. So anyway, there's some thoughts about Christmas gift giving that I hope are helpful to you. Again, go to WMMBAM.com, keyword Space Talk, and you'll see all of those links there to help you buy. And everything's pretty cheap, too. Everything's pretty inexpensive, so it's just in time to shop. Well, look, when we return after this short break, we're going to talk some more about kids. 'Tis the season. Kids getting interested and excited about space. One way that's being done here in Brevard County is at the Kennedy Space Center. And we'll be having Billy Specht on from Delaware North when we come back. Now, stand by for more Space Talk brought to you by United Space Alliance.
If it's happening in space, Jim Behnke is there. Okay, well, not in space, but he's all about it. This is Space Talk on WMMB.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire.
Wow, open fire. In Florida? Is it cold enough?
Jack Frost.
Well, it used to be cold enough where I grew up in Minnesota to start up the fire and do all of those things. You know, when our family escaped the cold in Minnesota and vacationed in Florida, the highlight of my trip was always the day we went to the Kennedy Space Center Visitor Complex. We'd take the bus tour, look at all the exhibits, stare at the real moon rock that was there, still there, and spend a whole lot of money that I had saved usually throughout the year at the gift shop. Now, I probably don't spend as much at the gift shop anymore, but I do like going out there, and I can honestly say that after all these years, you know, later, that I live in Florida and do what I do for the space program from here because of that visitor complex. And so with that said, I also want to add this, that a few years ago, actually many years ago, the National Space Club Florida Committee, which I'm a board member and have been a member for some time, we used to give scholarships away to two or three, I think three maybe at the tops, deserving college students that were in engineering, showed an interest in going to the space program. We'd give them, you know, a couple $1,000 a year, you know, pick somebody out every year. And over the course of time, we began to think that maybe there was a better way to spend that money. Rather than spend all that money on two or three people, was there a way we could reach a bigger audience? And at the same time, we began to hear from folks that said, you know, if you're going to reach kids that have an interest in the space program, have an interest in studying science and math, maybe to go into space, maybe into some other high technology field, that you really need to capture their hearts and capture their interest at a fairly young age. Certainly at an age young enough where they can plan ahead for their junior high and senior high years to take the right math, take the right science classes, to set them up for that success in college. If you don't get ahead in the math classes and realize early that you can handle it and you like it and take the right classes, you know, you can fall behind or not even wind up getting into the right math and science classes when you get in college. The point being that we want to capture their hearts when they're young. And so we looked at that and said sixth grade, the last year of elementary school here in Brevard County, was the ideal age to do something for. And so the Space Club, working with Brevard Education folks and other organizations, the aerospace companies, a lot of other private donors and whatnot, we started raising money, and the goal was to bring every sixth grader in the public school system, and later on we started getting the private schools gotten involved, bring them to the Kennedy Space Center Visitor Complex and spend a day. And that program was begun, you know, and I was trying to think 6 or 7 years ago. It's probably longer than that. But Billy Specht, who is from Delaware North, the company that operates the visitor complex for NASA, has been the real point person at the visitor complex for handling the logistics and operations and all the behind-the-scenes stuff that goes on to make the actual execution of that program happen. And Space Weeks, as they're called now, has just wrapped up. We've just gone through the period where this year every sixth grader in Brevard County had a chance to go to the visitor complex. And I wanted to spend a little time talking about that. And on the phone with us is Billy Specht. Billy, good afternoon. How you doing?
Hey, Jim. Happy holidays.
Well, happy holidays to you. And first, give us a quick game show bio about yourself. Where do you come from, and how did you wind up doing what you're doing?
Well, yeah, probably started about the same time that it started for you. When I was a kid growing up in Central Florida, I came on a field trip to Kennedy Space Center, and I thought that was the greatest thing ever. Certainly inspired me. Later on, before I worked for Delaware North at the Kennedy Space Center, I served as a teacher. I taught fifth grade and eventually joined the team there at Delaware North Parks, and certainly a member of Space Club as well. And when the space leaders, you and others, got together to talk about refocusing Space Club's efforts to tackle more students, I looked forward to the challenge of trying to figure out how we could arrange field trips for large amounts of students and do a good job out there of inspiring and educating them.
Yeah, it's been a Herculean effort every year, and of course it gets both smoother, and then you find new things to fix every year as well. But tell us, what was a typical day like this year for the sixth graders as they went through this day?
Well, you know, let me start by mentioning that, you know, the program really begins right in the sixth grade classroom, and that's really probably the most important part. They spend quite a bit of time preparing for this field trip. They will do quite a bit of curriculum, and the curriculum was a partnership. The materials and activities that were developed to support the field trip were developed in partnership with Space Club and NASA and our education folks. So by the time they hop on one of our buses and make their way to the visitor complex and to the Saturn V Center, they've got some good knowledge in their heads, and certainly the teachers have managed to build a lot of excitement. When they arrive, typically they arrive right at the Apollo Saturn V Center, and that's where they start their day. And we're all out there, all the folks that have volunteered to be a part of this program and the folks that work out there are out there waving at the buses and welcoming them there. And the first thing they do is pile into the Apollo Saturn V Center and begin a scavenger hunt where they're searching for information and bits of science about that rocket, and we've related it to the Constellation program. And
sure.
Yeah, that's the way they start their day, and at that point we're talking about teamwork. They've got to work together with their fellow classmates to answer questions and solve problems, and that's how they start.
A scavenger hunt in the Saturn V Center, watching kids run around with their little pieces of paper, is a sight to behold.
Yeah, it really is. It's a lot of fun to watch, and it sure is fun to see them really engaged and working together.
Yeah,
and that usually lasts about 20 or 30 minutes, and they make their way into the Lunar Theater, where we have arranged to have an astronaut speak to them about primarily why they became an astronaut. What were the steps that they went through in their lives that led them to a career as an astronaut?
Mm-hmm.
This year we were fortunate to have Apollo astronaut Al Warden. And during the second half of Space Week, we were very fortunate to have astronaut Wendy Lawrence, who has a great story to share with the students.
So after you see the astronaut, then they're off to what, lunch or...?
They're off to lunch. They hop back on the buses, and we transport them to the main visitor complex, and they work their way through our lunch system, and their choices are a hamburger or a hot dog, and that's a real efficient operation, and they seem to really enjoy it.
Yeah.
We load their bag up with cookies and milk, and they also get sodas, and they seem to really enjoy that
Day. Little different from the average cafeteria fare for that day, you know?
Yeah, this year it was in the Countdown Cafe.
Oh, that's cool. So they go off to the IMAX theater at some point. Don't they get to see an IMAX movie?
Right. Following their lunch, they wander over to the IMAX theater. And by the way, we are really we're moving them from place to place. Lots of volunteers, lots of help, dressed in our black Brevard Space Week shirts, folks
right.
from Brevard schools, folks from USA, folks from Lockheed, and folks from Delaware North. They fill our IMAX theater, but before they see an IMAX movie, the first thing they do is they get a great science demonstration
right.
provided by NASA Education. Recently been reviewing some letters from last year to look at the feedback, and one of the things they like the most certainly is a liquid nitrogen demonstration.
Oh, lots of fun, yeah.
That we talk about the cryogenics in the fuel tank of the space shuttle and how that fuel is used and how amazing it is. And in the process, we freeze the air in a balloon, and they get to see liquid air, and that always really fascinates
yeah.
them. Another thing they do is we typically will freeze a branch or carrot or something like that, and then the kids get to watch it shatter and do a thousand pieces.
Yeah, that was my favorite. The one time I saw it recently, I think they used a flower. And so
yeah.
you have this beautiful, delicate little thing that gets dipped in this super cold liquid. Comes out looking a little worse for wear, but essentially looks like a flower until she smashes it on the table and it goes, you know, into a million pieces every which way. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, one of the my favorite parts of that show is when the educator, the NASA educator, asks if anyone would like to touch the liquid nitrogen. And, you know, typically the whole audience, these are sixth graders, they raise their hand. And then she explains what would happen if you touched the liquid nitrogen and then asked the question again. And usually about half the audience continues to raise their hand.
That's right. They know no fear.
You're right.
So you know, one of the, and then I know they see the IMAX movie, and I guess it varies from year to year. But, you know, one of the things I find remarkable is just getting them back and forth, you know, getting them around the visitor complex, and but getting them from school and back to school and using, Billy, the visitor complex buses. I know that when the buses pull up, and they're not your average school buses. These are the Kennedy Space Center Visitor Complex, red, white, and blue, double-decker, God-loving buses. You know, it's just something really special.
Yeah, it really is. Certainly helps to build the excitement when, you know, you might be used to, as a sixth grader, riding one of the yellow school buses. But when those buses pull up and they've got the NASA logo there and the Kennedy Space Center words and our bus drivers, our tour escorts, wave hello. I think that really starts the program off on
yeah,
the right foot.
Really good. Well, yeah. Billy, we're going to pause here, take our 5-minute built-in hold at the bottom of the hour. We're going to come back, hear from Tracy Yates, and then talk some more with Billy and get some reaction from the kids about what they feel, how cool it was. We'll be back in 5 minutes. I'm Jim Behnke. You're listening to WMMB.
This is Space Talk with Jim Behnke.
Well, welcome back to the second half of Space Talk on WMMB, brought to you by United Space Alliance. Well, I want to remind you that Space Talk can be heard live online right now, streaming at WMMBAM.com. And by sometime later this evening, certainly by tomorrow morning, we hope, a recording of today's show will be available as a podcast to download, again, at WMMBAM.com. By the way, before we get to back to Billy, I want to just spend a moment again with our friend Tracy Yates from United Space Alliance and get an update on what's going on. Good afternoon, Tracy.
Hi there, Jim. How are you?
Good, good. The Christmas parade folks are gathering here in the studio, near the studio.
Oh, fun.
And Melbourne parade tonight. So I saw Santa's sleigh. Didn't see Santa. Saw a sleigh.
Very exciting.
Endeavour. One step closer to launch. Is that the news from USA this week?
Yes, sir. Endeavour rolled over to the Vehicle Assembly Building and was lifted into the high bay. I happened to be over in that high bay this past week with a film crew, and we were on the mobile launcher platform. And when you look at the space available for that orbiter, the solid rocket boosters were there, the external tank was attached,
yeah.
And then there's this space for the orbiter. It looks so small and so tight, it's hard to imagine how those crane operators can lower it down in without, you know, bumping anything. It's a miracle.
The work that they do, and you know, there are a lot of unsung heroes out at the Kennedy Space Center, and I certainly count the crane crew among them. The work they have to do in the positions that they're in with the distances and the sight lines, I mean, it certainly is a team effort, but the delicate touch these guys have.
You're right. It's a miracle every time, I think.
I think we ought to get them on the air someday. That'd be a good idea.
Yeah,
let's put that in as a formal request, Tracy.
All right.
All right.
I'll arrange it.
Little business.
Yeah, and of course, we're ready to start stacking for the next mission next week. They'll start bringing over the solid rocket booster segments for STS-131. So, you know, the work goes on.
The work goes on with 5 more shuttle missions to go. Now, Endeavour looking like a February launch, and certainly this milestone of Endeavour coming over this week certainly holds to that schedule.
Yes, sir. Yeah, we're on track for 5 missions in 2010.
Let me ask you real quick while I got you. You know, we were used to talking about United Space Alliance and the shuttle, but you guys got a big role in helping maintain and operate the International Space Station.
Yeah, we've got a crew of about 1,000 people who work mostly in Houston, supporting the ISS missions, training the crew, planning for all the operations that go on there. So it's very exciting. Of course, 2010 marks the 10th anniversary of humans continuously living aboard the ISS, which is just something. That station is a technical, political, engineering marvel.
It really is. And to think about 10 years nonstop humans have been in orbit is just, you know, sometimes only 2 at a time. But still, that we've got a position up there and a post up there has just got to be something that, again, a miracle and something to really be proud of and celebrate, too.
Absolutely. And, of course, now it's about the size of a ranch house, ranch-style house, so it's quite comfortable.
Yeah.
It's a marvel.
It's big enough now where the guys say that they can actually sometimes get lost and even find some private time and not be disturbed, you know, as everyone else goes about their business. So.
Yeah, I'd sure like to go check it out. How about you?
Yeah, let's do it, shall we? Spaceship 2 rolled out this past week. Maybe we can give it a little more energy and we can get it all the way up to orbit someday. So
there you go.
Okay, Tracy, thanks for the update. Go work on that crane crew idea. That'd be a great show.
We'll do that. Thanks.
Okay.
Thanks,
take care, Tracy. Tracy Yates, United Space Alliance, giving us our weekly update. Let's not even waste any time. Go back to Billy Specht. From Delaware North Parks, the operator of the Kennedy Space Center Visitor Complex, we're talking about Brevard Space Weeks, and every sixth grader in the county get a chance to see the visitor complex, do some learning, do some sightseeing as well, and it's been a great success for the program by all accounts. And Billy, you've heard back from students who've said what it means to them and how cool it is.
You got that right. So that you and your listeners are aware, this year we saw about 5,100 sixth graders and about 600 teachers and chaperones. And we just wrapped up on Friday, and that was a great amount of students coming through to see the visitor complex. But I do have a letter here. I think probably the best way to summarize what the students are learning is to read this to you and your listeners. This letter comes to us from Stephen at Coquina Elementary.
Okay.
And it says, Dear Kennedy Space Center, thank you for making Brevard Space Week possible for me and my class. That was very kind and generous of you. I had a blast at Kennedy Space Center. It was so much fun, and I learned a lot. I have never been there before. My favorite part of the event was the shuttle launch experience. The ride is very entertaining. I enjoyed sitting next to my best friend, Adam, and watching him cower in fear before the ride started. It was awesome. I learned a lot about the future of space exploration. I am very interested in being a person who will live on the moon for 6 months and help colonize it,
wow,
and maybe someday even travel to Mars. Listening to the speaker, who was an engineer, definitely got me interested in that field. I like math and science, so becoming an engineer would be fun. Thank you again for making this trip possible for me. I hope someday I can go back. Sincerely, Stephen.
Wow. Wow, that's good. That's good. You know, and the chance to touch, you do all this work, and you just hope, you know, that there's one person out there. And to me, Billy, that letter is worth the whole thing, you know, because if that one person follows his dream and makes a difference for all of humanity in that way, I mean, what a payoff. What great seeds we're planting right now.
You're absolutely right. And, you know, these students are right in our backyard. We did a survey with these students prior to this year's program and asked every sixth grader in our county, how many of you have been to the Space Center before?
Yeah.
And I think you'd be surprised to hear that only half of them said that they have come and visited the Kennedy Space Center. So,
And I'm actually surprised it's that large a number. I mean, I live, what, 2-3 miles from the beach, and the last time as a Floridian I was on the beach, you know, I don't know when it was. We go home to Minnesota, and they're more tan than I am, you know. So you don't take advantage of what's in your own backyard. And people need to get up there and see the remarkable things that we're doing, you know, in our space program. And it's happening right in our backyard.
Yeah, and I want to mention, Jim, one of the best parts of the program from my perspective is the fact that we provide our space club leaders an opportunity to welcome the students and talk about how important it is that they stay in school and study math and science. And the other part of that is the fact that there are so many other jobs besides being an astronaut. And I think that's the one thing that these students walk away with. One big message is, okay, there's a world of opportunity at the Kennedy Space Center, and there's opportunities as technicians and engineers. And, the Space Center is not just about astronauts. And I think we deliver that message loud and clear, and it certainly shows in the feedback.
Well, I've had the honor of being one of those guys that get up in front of everybody and does that welcome, and certainly that was my message as well, that, you know, I feel just as involved in the space program as anyone else. And, you know, I'm a communicator and a writer and a creative guy, and that just as important. And you've got people, as we were just talking with Tracy, who operate cranes for a living, and
right.
You can't do the space program without them. I'm watching live TV on a website here of them attaching Endeavor to the external tank, and we can't launch this thing without the people, the men and women who have the skills to go do those things. It's not just about being an astronaut. It's not even truthfully necessarily about being an engineer, as it is about opportunities to be in the technicians or in the finance world, in the business side, or all the different pieces that go into it. So let's spend a couple more minutes. Now, this program is going to continue to grow, we hope. I know that the Space Club would love to see other counties involved and just continue to grow this thing. Are you guys ready to do this, you know, over the course of a month and have every sixth grader in Florida do this someday?
Well, that's certainly the ultimate goal, and I know that we can make that happen. We've certainly done a great job with Brevard County. This is the seventh year that we've done this program.
I thought it was about six. Yep, okay.
Right. We've also had an opportunity to work a little bit with Orange County Schools, and Volusia Schools have showed some interest. And so I really do believe there's a lot of interest there in expanding this program. Other counties around us are beginning to see the value of this type of programming, and they certainly are showing interest. So yes, absolutely.
Yeah, and again, it of course it does take team, it does take volunteers, and certainly it takes money. And the National Space Club Florida Committee, you know, kind of wearing that hat right now, we're glad to raise the money we're able to help fund this. There are other organizations that help pay for this. Brevard Education folks that help the big aerospace companies, the small aerospace companies. Even just joining the Space Club for $25 a year helps do and fund all of this kind of activity. And as we talk about expanding it and making it available to reach out to these kids, you know, more of that kind of stuff's, you know, going to be needed, those kind of resources. And so certainly we'll have a chance to talk about that in the future. We just got about a minute left. Any other big highlights education-related going out the visitor complex right now?
Well, you know, I wanted to mention one pretty special thing that will happen at the beginning of next year at the Astronaut Hall of Fame, which is part of the Visitor Complex experience, is a new experience called Science on a Sphere. Mm. Now, this is a pretty amazing experience. It's a room-sized global display system that displays on a sphere, which is about 6 foot in diameter, data from NOAA and also data from NASA. So if you are interested in seeing maybe what the moon looks like 360 degrees, or the Mars or the other planets, we're going to be able to display that data in a pretty amazing new way at the Astronaut Hall of Fame. The plan is to open this about mid-February, so
mid-February.
Look forward to that.
Okay, good. I saw one at the Wallops Flight Facility not too long ago. It's an incredible piece of hardware. Billy, thanks for being on the air with us. We're going to say goodbye to you. Continued success and good luck out there at the Visitor Complex. Well, look, when we return from this final break, we're going to be joined by Mike Ryan of United Launch Alliance.
With everything you need to know about America's space program, here is Jim Behnke.
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell.
Well, welcome back to this final segment of Space Talk, sponsored by United Space Alliance. Well, it is the holiday season. Last weekend, I think more than one holiday party in Brevard County included a very special treat Saturday night when a Delta IV lit up the clear, chilly night sky, sent a familiar rumble across the Space Coast. And the company behind that shot was United Launch Alliance. And their spokesman and my colleague Mike Ryan joins us by phone to talk some more about that. Mike, welcome.
Thank you, Jim.
How are you doing today?
Well, it's great, other than all the liquid sunshine that's going out here at California right now. Mother Nature's definitely been in charge for the last couple of days, but hopefully she'll clear out of the way and we'll be able to launch our final mission on Monday.
Well, I was going to say, you're out in California because your company has another shot to go, the Delta II, on Monday. That's the plan right now, huh?
Yep, at 9:09 Eastern Time, our Delta II is going to launch NASA's WISE mission, which is going to go out and take pictures of the universe, 150 photos a day, and then the scientists will be able to compare them. And I'm sure, as they've done in the past, they'll discover new bodies and planets and comets and all the things that they do. So we're pretty excited about that.
Well, and no rest for the weary. So you know, the Delta IV lifted off last week, and the headline was 36 for 36, and now you're about to do, I think, 37 for 36 and a half, or how are you going to count that? I mean, you guys have been very busy since you formed. Tell us about that and that successful milestone.
You bet. United Launch Alliance was officially formed on 1 December 2006, bringing together Boeing's Delta and Lockheed Martin's Atlas program. 14 days later, on December 14th, 2006, we launched our first rocket as a new company. And since then, culminating, as you said, with last Saturday night, we've launched 36 successful rocket launches, not one every month, but an average of one a month.
Sure.
We've launched 21 Delta IIs, 11 Atlas Vs, and 4 Delta IVs, but two of the 4 Delta IVs were the Delta IV Heavy configuration, which is like launching three rockets at once. So it's been a very busy time this year. When we launch on Monday, it'll be our 16th launch of this year. So it's been more than one a month, about one every 2 to 3 weeks since mid-August. So after we get this one successfully in space, everybody's definitely looking forward for a quiet holiday.
Yeah, and of course, you know, that record covers both coasts, both the Cape Canaveral here and Vandenberg Air Force Base in California. And you know, these launches seem to come in bunches. So the idea that over the course of 3 years you've launched an average of one a month, I mean, that's a pretty sporty rate, isn't it?
Yes, we're very proud of it. Obviously, when you look across the space industry in America, really nobody comes close to that. There is one company overseas that launches at a very similar rate, but I think when you take everything into consideration that we launch for the Air Force, the NRO, NASA, and also commercial missions, when you have all those variety of customers and you're operating off two coasts and the teams have to fly back and forth, again, what can I say? We're just very proud of this accomplishment, and of course we couldn't do it without great support from our communities out there in Brevard and here in California as well. So we'd just like to thank everybody for all the support from the last 3 years as well.
Well, good. And let me gush some more, because, you know, being the launcher side of this thing, this is not just ship and shoot. You know, every one of these rockets, while they kind of have the same processing at the bottom end of the thing, at the top end of the thing, you've got different customers. You've got different configurations. You've got different requirements. Things connect differently for all these different satellites. They all have to do a little bit different kind of orbits. So these are not simple cookie-cutter launches that you can just bang off one at a time, or, you know, once every other week, you know, or whatever. They take a lot of effort, a lot of time, a lot of planning to get it done.
That's very true. Unlike the space shuttle, which, you know, when it launches, it comes back to reprocess the same three space shuttles. When we launch a rocket, it's a one-time deal. So all of the rockets that I've spoken of were all built by ULA employees either in Denver or Decatur, bending metal from the very beginning, you know. So it's really a tooth-to-tail type of process to get a rocket launched. And normally, from the time we first cut metal, the time of a launch for a rocket is about 2 years. So if you think about all the people and the precision it takes at the factory and the engines to get a vehicle to go 17,500 miles an hour in space, and then operating on both coasts and the different configurations. And, of course, like right now and like we did with WGS, Mother Nature always seems to have her say in the process as well. So these are things we all deal with, but it's a great business, and it's something that, whether it's to help explore the universe or help our warfighters in the field or build America's economy with commercial missions, we're just glad that we were able to play a role in all that.
And that's cool. Mike, just wrapping up with you now, what's the forecast for next year? You got a rate to equal that?
Well, we'll be very close. On Monday, if we launch, of course, that'll be our 37th, starting the 37th month, and we have 10 more on the manifest with the possibility of maybe a couple more, so maybe a year from now I'll be talking about by 48 and 48, but I'm pretty confident that if it isn't that, it's going to be 47 or 46 or darn close to it. So
just incredible.
It's definitely not slowing down for us over here on the Cape or at Vandenberg.
Well, Mike, thanks for being on the air with us today. Continued best wishes and good luck with the launch on Monday, and we'll see you back home here soon.
All right. Thank you very much, Jim.
Thanks,
bye-bye.
Mike. Talk to you again. So Again, that Delta rocket set to launch Monday from Vandenberg. We don't get to hear it or see it from here, but keep your eyes on the news for it, because every launch just as important as the next one. And a good launch from the Vandenberg means means good things for us here too. So, you know, and again, United Launch Alliance, you know, that they were able to combine the Delta and Atlas teams and the different cultures and all that. And, you know, I know that hasn't all gone so well, I'm sure, but on the big picture, boy, they've been right on top of it. And that's just a successful deal all the way around, any way you want to look at it. So good job for that company. And again, those are our friends and neighbors right here in Brevard County. Well, just wrapping up here now for this show this week, I want to tell you that next week on the program will be my guest will be former astronaut Winston Scott, a former astronaut and a good friend who is now with Florida Tech on the Space Coast here, Dean of Aeronautics there. And we're going to have him on board to tell us about what he's been up to and what's been going on over at Florida Tech. In the meantime, certainly invite you to stay up to date with Space Talk by visiting our webpage at WMMBAM.com using keyword Space Talk. And let's see, what else do we have to say? Well, I want to tell you also that coming up in the weeks to come here, the Christmas program on December 26th in the afternoon is going to be Jerry and Jeff Carr, father and son. Jerry Carr spent Christmas in aboard Skylab back in 1970s, and he and his son are going to be on the air with us to talk about Christmas in space. So that should be another one that's worth watching. So again, stay tuned to all that. You can have updates to Space Talk on WMMBAM.com, keyword Space Talk. You can log on to Twitter, at Space Talking, and get full updates on what we're up to. And that should keep you in touch with what's going on. So, again, thanks for listening today. This is Space Talk. I'm Jim Banky. We're sponsored by United Space Alliance. Innovation you can trust, performance you can count on. Keep enjoying the holiday season. Hope to see you at the parade tonight. And have a great week. We'll see you next week on Space Talk.